Welcome to episode 28 of How to Be a STEMinist. We often think that getting a promotion means you've got to work extra hard and extra long hours, but I'm here to prove to you that it doesn't need to be that way. I'll be sharing my own promotion story in my engineering career with you in this episode. This is the How to Be a STEMinist podcast. I'm your host, Tiffany, a proud woman in STEM. To me, being a STEMinist means creating a wildly fulfilling career without compromising your family or social life. Because when you love your whole life, you become a living example that a career in STEM is where it's at. I'm on a mission to equip women in STEM around the world with strategies to take back control of their career progression, navigate those difficult and awkward gender equality issues, and stop balancing work with life and start enjoying it. If you want to learn all the things no one else teaches you about being a woman in STEM, you've come to the right place. Let's get stuck in. Ladies, I am about to blow your minds. So I'm here to tell you today that you don't need to work any harder than you are right now to get a promotion. In fact, you might find you can work less and get promoted and get a pay rise at the same time. I know what you're thinking. You're like, oh, here goes Tiff on one of her dreamboat rants again. This is totally not possible, but I know it's possible because I've done it myself in my own engineering career when I was working as a mechanical engineer in the construction industry. I'm going to share with you all the steps that I took. And to be honest, I figured this stuff out accidentally. It wasn't because I was some sort of career planning genius back then. If anything, I really had to learn from the opportunities I was given at the time. And I even learned a few mistakes, but that'll be for another episode if you're interested in hearing about them. Now, I've been on my little soapbox talking to you about how you should be thinking about leveling up and how you should be reaching for a promotion right now, because I've been speaking to so many women recently who have said that they just don't feel now is the right time to be talking about the next stage of their careers. We're currently in the midst of a global pandemic. Lots of people feel fortunate just to have a job, and they also feel selfish for thinking about the next stages of their career. They just feel like they should be grateful for what they have. Let me tell you this, it's okay to be grateful, but ambitious at the same time. Just because you're reaching for the next level doesn't mean you're not grateful for what you have right now. It just means that you want to grow, and it means that you want to create more value. You want to give more value to the company or the organization that you work for. So it is not selfish at all. In fact, you are giving because you are going to be giving more value by getting this promotion. Now, I spoke to you in the last episode about how you can't just get a promotion by being there for longer than someone else. You can't get a promotion just because you work longer hours. You get a promotion by increasing the value that you bring to your team or your organization. And I tell you exactly step by step how to do this in my brand new ebook, which I mentioned in the last episode as well. The book is called Get Noticed and Promoted, The Playbook. I've called it a playbook because it's not just any old book. It is a book that gets you to take action, and it is a step by step formula. So all you need to do is read it through. There are activities that you need to do, and there are templates and scripts. I know that a lot of people are really scared about how to actually approach their boss. Like, what words do you even say to your boss to say you want a promotion, right? So no one teaches this stuff to us. I figured it out by accident, by trial and error, and I want you to have that with you for your next promotion conversation. So go ahead and grab a copy of that book. I've already received a glowing review from Estella, who is a telecommunications engineer. She said, "Hi, Tiffany, I really liked the ever so practical advice in your book. I've worked in management positions in the past, and I've been in the opposite situation where someone demands a promotion and or pay rise. As much as I wanted to help, the employees didn't seem to have a clear career path other than to get a promotion. I totally loved how you take into account both sides in your book and turn it into a fun process that everyone involved can benefit from." Thank you so much, Estella, for that review, and I hope that this will inspire you to get a copy of this super practical advice in this book as well, so that you could move towards your own career progression. It is on my website, and I will leave the link in the show notes here as well. But the thing I want to talk to you today about is my own promotion journey and how I figured this stuff out. So everything I've written in the book isn't just stuff that I've gathered from collecting bits and pieces from the internet. This is stuff that I've had to make mistakes on, and I've collated all the stuff that has worked for me, and I've also added in stuff that has worked for other people who I managed when I managed other engineers. So it's kind of like an amalgamation of all the best tips and tricks. It's not a tips and tricks book though. It really is a step-by-step guide with templates and everything like that, and all the practical stuff you need to get your next promotion. Okay, it's story time with Tiff today. So all you need to do is sit back and relax, or whatever you're doing right now, walking. I often wonder what people are doing when they're listening to me speak to them via my podcast. I would love to know, so let me know. Get in contact with me. I've just started my Twitter account. I would love for you to befriend me there. I'm feeling a little bit lonely. My handle is @_TiffanyDawson_. So tweet me. Tell me what you're doing while listening to this podcast episode. Okay, let's get started. So I'm going to start from why I quit my first job. So I worked at my first company for, I think it was like maybe 3 or 4 years across Australia and their UK office. And I had so many great experiences there. I learned so much. And, you know, for any of you who have left their first ever job before, you'll know how much of an affinity you feel with it before you leave. You kind of feel this massive amount of loyalty towards your first job. So quitting my first job was not an easy thing to do. In fact, I felt quite guilty leaving. But the reason I left was purely due to my curiosity. I had worked at this company for a few years, and I just had this inkling within me that there were other companies out there who did things better. There were times when I would question why things were done a certain way, and I was never really that satisfied with the answer. Sometimes it was just, you know, this is the way we've always done it, which obviously is the most terrible and dumb thing to ever say. I really like to know the reason behind things, and I'm sure most people who work in STEM do. That's what we do. We try to understand how things work. But I really just wanted to know how other companies did things and how they solved problems. So it got to the point where I felt like I outgrew the amount of learning I could do in that situation. I'm sure there was so much more I could learn, but I wanted to learn different things that company couldn't give me at the time. So I wanted to move to a larger company just to see, you know, whether a larger company had more efficient way of doing things, whether they had access to more specialty knowledge, whether they got to, I don't know, even go to more conferences, what their work events were like, all of this stuff to do with engineering and to do with just business. I wanted to know how other places worked. So I left to work for my next company in a state of wonder and exploration. I managed to get a job at quite a large international firm that had way more people and way more engineering disciplines than my first workplace. And I loved it. There was a sense of being free to explore stuff. Because the company was so big, I didn't feel pigeonholed into doing one specific role. They really let me explore different things, meet different people. I got to, well, I wonder whether I asked to be a part of more stuff. Maybe it was because at my previous job, I started there as a graduate. I kind of just had this mentality of being the baby of the group all the time because that's how I started there. Whereas when I moved to the second company, I was already a senior engineer. So I kind of came with this air of not being a baby anymore. I was like, you know, a fully experienced engineer moving into that company. So I kind of had that mindset shift of wanting to explore and also feeling like I had a little bit more authority to speak my own mind. And that might have just all been internal. Maybe people at my previous company never thought of me as the baby or anything like that. So who knows what it would have been like if I had a different mindset at my previous job. Anyway, I moved to this company. I wanted to explore. I was being curious. And while I wasn't thinking about getting a promotion at the time, because frankly, I'd just moved there, I realize now that what I did in the following months was the, you know, I created the perfect conditions for a promotion. And that's how I kind of came to write my book, Get Noticed and Promoted, because I kind of reverse engineered what I did and put it into practical steps. Okay, so this is what happened. Because I wanted to honor my desire to explore how other people did things, I kind of weaseled my way into attending meetings that I thought would be interesting. So I ended up inviting myself. This sounds really, what's the word? I feel like I really just forced myself upon them. But I know now that I actually was a valuable part of these meetings. But so I asked to attend business development meetings where it was full of directors and people in the executive team who were making important strategic decisions in terms of which clients to go after and stuff. I attended team strategy discussions. So that was more about what was happening internally within our wider team. So who should be working on what, which people have which strengths and which projects they should be working on, how to make a strategy so that we're leveraging everyone's strengths and their connections and all that sort of stuff. I found that really fascinating. And the third type of meeting that I invited myself to was called Bid or No Bid. It sounds a bit like a game show, doesn't it? So basically, this was a weekly meeting. It was really short, just half an hour each week. And it was where two of the most senior directors reviewed all of the possible new projects that might come into the company. And we basically decided there and then whether we would spend the time to write a proposal so that we would bid for that project or not. Because obviously, writing a proposal, although that is kind of free, but in a business, time is money. So we don't want to be wasting time on putting this proposal together when that's not part of the strategic direction that the company wanted to go in. Anyway, through inviting myself to these meetings, I learned so much. I really got into the minds of these directors. I learned about all the little, you know, strategic things that they had to think about all the time. And it was really interesting to see how they had to balance the company's profit-making ability, the employees' engagement levels, and all sorts of other things that they had to consider as well. So I kind of had these few months of exploring, and my previous bets were right. So you know how I said I wanted to move companies to see whether other people did things better? Well, they did in some respects. So I learned how this second company did things more efficiently, or they were able to get better results by tweaking a few things. So they did do things differently to my previous company. They also did a few things worse than my previous company, which I was really surprised by. I thought moving to a bigger company meant that they would have all their systems and everything sorted out. Well, that's totally not true. The size of company doesn't determine whether people have stuff figured out or not. So I was able to then share my past experiences from my previous company to help improve the processes of the second one. So, you know, that's a good example as to why diversity of thought is so important. But going back to how all of this kind of got me to a point where I got promoted. Now, if you're thinking right now, oh my goodness, I could never be as brave as Tiff to invite myself to directors' meetings. I felt really uncomfortable doing it, and I felt a bit embarrassed and ashamed to be there sometimes. So don't feel like you have to be super ballsy in order to do this stuff. I just felt like, although it was really uncomfortable, it was the right thing for me to do. For me, the stakes were kind of high, you know. I left my previous company where I was doing a good job, I was well respected, I had a job that had a good trajectory. I left all of that because I was curious. I wanted to know how other people did things. So I really wanted to honor that. That's the only reason I kind of got over my own discomfort and invited myself to those meetings. It's not because I'm a super confident, you know, a naturally super confident person in front of directors or anything like that. Once I got to know them a bit better, I later on asked one of those directors in the room at the time, you know, in one of those meeting rooms at the time, what did you think when I first rocked up at a meeting being, you know, at least 10 years more junior than the next youngest person in the room? And they said that they had just assumed that one of the other directors had specially invited me because of my past experiences at a previous role. So they even said that I had some really valuable insights because my perspective was fresh. I hadn't been a director before. I hadn't made strategic decisions before. It's not like it's part of my autopilot. I really had to think outside of the box to get into that discussion. And because of that, I was able to provide some really valuable insights and a fresh perspective. So that was good. And that's a note of encouragement to you. If you want to go and do something in your company that you feel like you're not ready for, or you might not have anything good to contribute, I can assure you, if I was able to contribute to these directors' strategy meetings when I had no experience whatsoever, you can do exactly the same. I'm no more special than anyone else out there. So I was really achieving my goal of wanting to get inside these people's heads and learn how they made decisions, how other people solved problems, and what was important to the leadership team in this business. I recall there was one of these team strategy meetings where the directors realized that they actually hadn't figured out what the team members would really enjoy working on. They were trying to figure out a way to retain more staff and to retain staff, so to keep them from moving to other companies, you had to get them engaged. They didn't know what engaged their staff. They could have a stab at it, you know, they could guess, but they never actually asked them. So in one meeting, they were saying how they couldn't figure it out, and they thought about potentially putting together a staff engagement survey. The reason they wanted to figure this out wasn't just to retain more staff, but also because when you have engaged staff members, they also produce more efficient and innovative ideas and their work. And when you have more efficiency and more innovation, then you're likely to earn more profits. So it's kind of like a win-win. You have happy team members, you also have more profit. So everyone gets what they want. This is the stuff that really, really interests me. As you can probably tell, I love getting inside people's heads. I love figuring out what makes them tick. Why do they act a certain way? How come I can say one thing to one person and they don't react? And then I'll say the same thing to someone else and they blow up in my face. Like, what is that? I'm also really passionate about helping people find happiness in their workplace. Even back then, even before I became a career coach, I really wanted to see what made people happy. And I knew that each individual had different motives and different priorities. So I loved just getting to know each other that way. Because I was so passionate about this, I put my hand up straight away to help drive this staff engagement survey. I really wanted to see all the results because I'm a bit nosy like that. And I thought it would be really fun to figure out why people acted a certain way when a change was made, what were the things that really frustrated them about their jobs. And I was sure that a lot of that stuff was really easy to fix. And if it was really easy to fix and we could improve, you know, the engagement of 50% of the staff, how amazing would that be? So I immediately put my hand up. I was like, yes, I want to do this. Let me take this on. And they said, yeah, absolutely. You know, we're directors. We don't have time to be doing this stuff. You do it. But also partner up with this associate director who was in the room to drive this survey. Because as you might know, if you work in a big company, the only way to get people to do stuff is to get people in power. So the people in leadership to tell them they've got to do it. So I partnered up with this associate director. I wrote the whole survey. I got feedback from him. We worked really well together and we rolled out this survey and I collected all the results. I got to get inside people's heads and figure out what they liked. And I collated it and presented it back to the leadership team. So I presented all the useful parts back to the leadership team and I knew what was useful because I had sat in those meetings with them. I knew what they wanted to know. I knew what they wanted me to leave out. So I was able to do that pretty easily because I knew them so well. I also knew which parts they wouldn't want to hear about, but they needed to, because I was the, you know, the regular work employee's representative. I was the regular person in that director's room. So I also had a responsibility to, I guess, represent the regular person in that workplace. So I was able to kind of punch a few noses in that director's meeting and tell them some stuff that they maybe didn't want to hear, but they needed to know. And they really, really appreciated that because no one else was going to tell them that. Anyway, I really loved doing that survey and that little side project that I got to do during work hours. You know, I put my hand up to do it because it didn't seem like work, it seemed like fun, but there was a big unexpected outcome from doing it. from doing that work, I created really great relationships with those more senior people, especially that associate director who I partnered up with to roll the survey out. And all the while doing something I found fun and exciting, I ended up proving to the leadership team that I had value to bring to the company. I increased the value I was bringing by collating all of these people's feedback and giving it back to the leadership team. And I proved that I could do that. I proved that I could help the company run more smoothly, to that I actually cared about people's engagement and career progression. And that stuck in people's minds. You know, I didn't set out to do that specifically, but that was the outcome. So being at the forefront of that associate director's mind during that time, on another note, in his own career path, he was thinking about what next steps he was going to take into his next role. So he had to figure out a succession plan. So it's just a succession plan is when you're usually at a relatively senior position, and while planning your own career progression, you also need to plan who's going to take your current position while you move up. So I was asked to be part of his succession plan and to take up his team leadership role when he moved up in 12 months' time. This was insane. Like, all I did was put my hand up to do something I didn't feel like was work. And I got asked to, you know, progress into this team leadership role in 12 months' time. While this was all happening, I learned a lot about how this associate director was planning his next steps, because as I was part of his succession plan, he'd often talk about, you know, how he was planning to get to his next level. And he also helps me to create my own plan to step into his current role. So the plan had a few steps, and here's what they were. Firstly, I needed to know what role I was aiming for. So that was, you know, this team leadership role I just spoke about. Secondly, I needed to think about what skills gaps I needed to fill before I got there. So what was it that I didn't know yet? Was there any knowledge I needed? Was there any training I needed? Did I need to sit in on, you know, interactions that he was having that I've never done before? All that sort of stuff. Thirdly, from those skills gaps and from knowing what role I was aiming for, I needed to write out my career objectives. Number four, I had to track my progress through regular feedback. So this was feedback not just from the associate director, not just from my line manager, but from other people who I would be working with in the future. And then fifth and finally, I had to collect proof that I was ready for that promotion. So really writing down all the evidence that I was filling these skills gaps, that I was meeting these career objectives, that was really important to prove to leadership that I would be ready to move up in 12 months' time. So that's how I got a promotion. Just by doing something I felt was interesting and following my nose, sticking my nose into places where I felt I would satisfy my curiosity. Because what happens is when you follow your curiosity, you'll always end up finding a way to do something you find interesting. You're only curious about stuff that you're interested in, right? And I was able to do that. So it turned out that the promotion happened before the 12 months was due, but because I had collected regular feedback, I collected regular proof and evidence along the way that I was on the right track, it was easy enough for the leadership team to be like, yep, she's moving in the right direction. She may need a little bit of help over the next few months, but she'll be there in no time. So you can see there that I actually didn't work any harder. I didn't have to be any smarter to get that promotion. All I did was follow my curiosity. I ended up being at the forefront of the leadership team's eyes, and I got that promotion. I got promoted ahead of people who had a similar amount of experience as me, who had a similar amount of capability as me. I got promoted ahead of people who worked much, much, much longer hours than me. So you don't have to be smarter or a harder worker to get a promotion. All you need to do is prove that you can provide more value than you did previously. That's it. And as people in STEM, we're really good at figuring out the most efficient way of doing things. So why don't you do that for your own career and for your own life as well? Don't work harder to get a promotion, but work more efficiently. Where is it that you can make the most impact? Usually that is in an area that you are interested in anyway. It won't feel like work when you're doing it. It'll be fun, and you'll be able to scratch that itch of curiosity that you have if you're following your nose the way that I did as well. If I'm totally honest with you, I didn't know back then that I even had the right to ask to be considered for a more senior role, but that's how I created my own career promotion opportunity. And you can do this too. I see two extremes when it comes to women in STEM wanting to progress. You get the people who plan their whole careers out to a T. They feel like they've got to get every single step exactly right at the exact right time, otherwise they won't get there. So that's one extreme. On the other end of the scale, you get people who don't have a plan at all. This was probably me, actually. Didn't have a plan. And all they do is wait until someone notices that they're working really hard, that they are working long hours before they kind of get a promotion. So you're just kind of waiting around until someone hands you an opportunity, and then you've just got to take that opportunity. There's no control over what that opportunity is or what it looks like when you get it. You're just waiting around till someone hands it to you. If you want to take control of your own career path and have a little bit of fun along the way, experimenting as to what you enjoy and where your strengths lie, you might not know that right now, you might have to do a bit of experimenting to figure that out, then I really encourage you to grab a hold of my book, Get Noticed and Promoted, The Playbook. Even if you don't feel like you are ready for a promotion right now, now is the right time to be thinking about that next step. Because chances are you need to prove over time that you're doing a good job, and you can't do that straight away. So don't wait until you want a promotion to get this book. You need to get this book way beforehand, read it, and start planning those steps. Now, this plan doesn't fit into that type of person who plans everything to a T. There is definitely room to move around and to follow your nose of curiosity. So if you want this step-by-step framework, if no one's ever taught you how to get a promotion before, how to get to that next level in your career, grab a copy of this book. The link is in the show notes. That's all I have for you today. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, I would love it if you could leave me a quick rating or review in Apple Podcasts or iTunes. And don't forget to subscribe. All my episodes come out every Wednesday, so don't miss out on that. Until next time, take care.